Brooke, welcome to RHT's podcast, Ron Tonky Tonk. We don't really have a name yet, so...
What should we call it?
I don't know. I was thinking RHT, because from a marketing perspective, people might be like, RHT, what does that stand for? And then they'll have to look up Ron Tonky Tonk.
Okay, I got you. Know,
but then, like...
Yeah, the RHT podcast.
Yeah. What do you think?
Or RHT Talks or something.
Bit old school.
Yeah, what talks?
Like, because then it would be RHTT.
RHT, yeah.
Sounds like a charity. So yeah, welcome. Thank you very much for coming.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, again, thank you for coming out. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, for sure. Even through this rain.
Yeah. So I'm really intrigued about you.
Okay.
and who you are as a person.
Yeah.
Because I listened to your, was it New York Times, was it?
Hollywood Times,
that's it. Not New York Times, that's terrible. one thing I feel you didn't talk much about was, you know, your connection to the UK and who you really are and where you come from. So,
yeah.
I mean, funny enough, my wife is actually from the same place you are, Wallingford, right?
Yeah.
Is that the same place?
Yeah. That's the nearest town to me.
You don't sound like you've got a Wallingford accent.
No.
So how did that happen?
I can't blame it on country music and the fact that I go back and forth to Nashville a little bit.
Right.
And I've spent some time out there and I think I'm just, my accent's just adapted a little bit.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And singing country music definitely hasn't helped that.
Yeah.
But yeah, near about everyone I meet, they go, so where are you from? I sit down the site, oh, I'm from, you know, South Oxfordshire. And they're like, is there a South Oxfordshire in the United States or Australia? And I'm like, no.
Awesome. Yeah, well... how much time did you spend in Nashville then? So how did that happen?
When did it start? It started when I left university. It wasn't the right thing for me. That was back in 2018 or something, I think. And then I had the opportunity to go to Nashville for the first time that year, which ended up being twice that year.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to Texas that year as well. And then I fell in love with it as soon as I went. I just, everything about it, loved it. And I just kept going back year after year, really, and it just became more and more frequent. And I try and get out there as much as I can, but it gets so expensive now.
Yeah,
it just keeps crawling up.
USA.
But I've got loads of great friends out there that I can go and stay with and hang with, and a lot of them that I'll write and work with. And which I'm really, really thankful for. So that does make it easier going out, for sure.
So was the were you into country music before you went? Or?
Yeah, okay. I grew up on country music.
Right.
Just throughout my childhood, there was country music and rock and roll and singer songwriter stuff, and there was a bit of blues here and there. But I grew up on country music. Always loved it. Always had a passion for it, but never really dived into it. As a musician, as such, I'd learned the old country song here and there on guitar, but it was all sort of rock and roll throughout my teens and everything. And then, fell into it.
So that was one thing I noticed as well, looking at your stuff, is I was like, this guy was definitely a guitarist first, and then realized he could sing.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened.
Was that the case?
That's exactly what happened. I always did sing, like in the car, and I mean, who don't sing in the shower and all that sort of stuff? And I was sort of singing everywhere, but. I was never a front man or anything, or I never did the solo artist thing at that stage. I was always lead guitar and backing vocals throughout bands and little projects, or I'd accompany another artist as a guitar player. But yeah, I was never fronting anything until I think it was about 2018, like late 2018 or something, like late summer.
So how did that happen? Were you in a band and then you was like, should I try this solo? Or
I was trying to pull together a band for a minute and have it as a band instead of Brooke Ellingworth, and it was easier for me to do my own thing at the time.
Yeah, because then you don't have to drag anyone around or
make arrangements. Yeah, it comes down to like reliability.
Yeah,
a lot as well. And I don't know if I was just playing with the wrong musicians or whatever it was, but it just didn't click. It didn't work. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, a mate of mine was running this like beers and blues festival, and I was working at a bar at the time, and he knew I was a musician. We had a few beers one night after the bar closed, and he was just like, oh, it'd be great if you'd play in the beer tent.
Mm-hmm.
Like after the main act's done, so like the music keeps going and all this sort of stuff. I was like, that's a great idea. And then the next,
so you weren't like,
and then the next morning, I was like, what have I just agreed to?
Yeah.
And I had like 4 days to wrangle together like 2 45-minute sets worth of songs that I hadn't really sang before.
Mm.
And then after that, gigs just started pouring in.
Awesome.
I was like, maybe the solo thing is going to work.
Yeah.
And it's the best thing I ever did, really.
Yeah. And so that was 2018 when you...
I think so. Yeah.
Okay.
I think it was either 2018 or it was late 2017.
Yeah. And so when did you go to Nashville for the first time?
2018, I went to Nashville for the first time.
Awesome.
And I started making some connections.
Yeah.
And which just kept taking me back, which was awesome.
Yeah. And so were you just like... straight recording and doing music in Nashville, or was there
not at that time? No, I was just sort of dossing about and finding my feet out there a bit and trying to make some friends,
yeah,
and making some connections. And I landed myself some meetings with some great companies, and it must have been 2017 when I started this solo crew because I was showing them stuff and told them what I was doing and everything, and they wanted to hear more. And I didn't play in Nashville at all that year.
Mm-hmm.
I made my debut out there in 2019 at a couple bars down Broadway.
Yeah.
Which I was just super, super lucky to meet the right people, shake the right hands, and they sort of brought me up, which was great, and gave me that opportunity.
Yeah. So is it, I was saying to Finn Pearson about, there's a girl that's, I don't know if you've ever heard of her, Shelby Ray. I don't know whether she's based in Nashville, but she's got an incredible voice. She went viral doing, it's the Chris Stapleton song, "You Only Need Room When It's Raining," that one. It might be Far Away, I think, yeah. Yeah, but anyway.
It's loud, it's cold.
Yeah. I think it's Far Away.
No, I think it is. That's slower, isn't it?
I don't know. But anyway, she went viral singing that. And I don't know whether she's based in Nashville, but she's got an incredible voice.
Yeah.
And there was this video of her playing in a bar in Nashville.
Mm.
It's just completely empty. And so...
I've been there.
Yeah. So talk to me a little bit about that. Is that... kind of what the reality is over there? Is it the case that is it kind of like the Hollywood of music? Like everyone goes there to,
I mean, it's
to make the dream happen.
Yeah, I mean, it's called it's called Music City for a reason, for sure. And it is very concentrated. Like I've always got people going, "Hey, so do you think that you need to move out there to sort of make this thing work?" I'm like, I don't think I do, because one, country music's grown so big here.
Yeah.
And even though, yeah, you're taking yourself out of a smaller pond here, sinking yourself in a bigger pond over there, that pond is packed full of fish.
Yeah.
It's so much more concentrated. And but like every bar, especially in like the center of Nashville, like downtown and everything, every bar's got a band playing in it. Or an artist playing in it. Like some places have them in play in the morning, and then there'll be bands throughout the afternoon, bands throughout the
Breakfast
evening.
Breakfast country.
Yeah. I'm not kidding. It's great. And then, like, you got, like, bars that are, like, three floors, and they got three bands playing at the same time. But that's every bar downtown Nashville has got that going on. So there will be venues that are empty, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Always less people. And... but I mean, it doesn't matter what day it is of the week either. It's there's always music going on. So yeah, there are going to be empty bars at some stages.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think I went to this bar that wasn't 2018. It was called like Piranhas or something.
Mm-hmm.
I think it might still be there. And I went in for lunch, went and got some chicken wings. Massive place. And it was empty, and there was a guy playing on the stage.
Right.
I was the only dude in there.
Yeah.
Well, there was one other person that was basically on their laptop doing some work. And this guy's just still playing on stage, and there's no one else in that room.
Yeah.
And I've had some gigs like that. I think that every musician needs to have those gigs.
Mm.
Where you just, you have an expectation, and then it just doesn't meet that.
Yeah. Yeah. So how do you think, so is it a decision that you've made to stay in the UK and try and make it work here, or what's...
It's a lot easier that way.
Like, yeah.
Dude, it's so expensive trying to get out there.
Right.
Like, you look at green cards and everything, ain't work visas are crazy money. Yeah. And when the opportunity comes along, if something gets presented to me, and someone goes, hey, we want to work with you, come out. In Nashville, we'll sponsor your work visa or something.
Yeah.
I'll be like, great, when do you want me?
Yeah.
I'll pack my bag. I'll be there in a week.
Yeah. So the UK is definitely having some interesting movements at the moment with country music, isn't it?
Yeah, for sure.
You know, so where do you see things going with country music in the UK at the moment?
Well, it's growing and growing and growing, isn't it? So... Mm. I don't think it's going to take a nosedive at any point, at least not anytime soon.
Yeah, we hope so.
Because, you know, you've got all these big cats dropping country albums like Post Malone.
Mm-hmm.
But then even before his album, I think I read a stat like country music grew in the UK by 67% last year.
Mm.
And then you have artists like Morgan coming over and doing BST.
Yeah.
And it just always seems like there is a country tour going on in the UK, no matter what time of year it is, which is fantastic. It's amazing.
Yeah.
And I always thought it was just big in Europe, especially like places like Germany and the Netherlands. They love it.
Yeah, Germany's pretty huge.
Dude, they are so hot on it. They can't get enough. No, it's great to see it finally sort of blossom here.
Yeah.
So I don't see it going anywhere.
Do you think? But, we hope. Do you think that we'll see some kind of change in country music in the UK differently? So, like my thought is, there was an interesting thing that happened with grime or UK rap.
Oh yeah,
I don't know if you know much about that, but in the early 2000s,
I got an opinion on it, but I don't know much about it.
I could probably guess that opinion. a similar thing or an interesting thing happened with grime in the UK in the early 2000s, where lots of British guys were rapping in American accents, but they didn't have an actual natural American accent.
Yeah.
They were kind of like rapping in American accents, rapping and kind of imitating what they had heard on the radio.
Yeah.
And then I think it was Dizzy Rascal that came along and was like, why are we doing this? Like, why can't we make it our own?
Yeah.
And he was the one that kind of changed it and turned it into grime or as it's seen today. And so I've had this idea that maybe that's what might happen with country music in the UK.
Is
a similar thing where maybe not necessarily with like an accent type of thing, but more of a change in maybe the lyrics or the dynamic of how things are done musically. I don't know, what's your thoughts on that?
Well, with the whole accent thing, I think that, you know, you've got bands like the Shires, and granted, they're probably they're the biggest country band to actually sort of come from the UK, and they don't have that American accent thing much. They're very much British for sure, and I do think that when it comes to songwriting, you have to sort of be careful with some of the topics and stuff that you stick into your lyrics when it comes from a UK artist? Because you don't want to end up sounding like David Brent,
right?
Ricky Gervais, that country comedic thing. Exactly. You don't want to, driving in my hybrid down the M40. Sounds a bit cooler if you're on a dirt road in a truck. It could work. I think terminology is one that I don't think is going to shift much.
That would be kind of funny, like in my Vauxhall Corsa.
Going through the drive-thru at McDonald's.
Like British culture. And I suppose that's how, I don't know, like how music evolves and genres evolve. Like the way that genres evolve really interests me as well, because even country in its origins in, the roots of the South and Americana and what makes Americana and culture and country and blues different, it's interesting how it all works. But what kind of inspires your music? So, like we say, certain lyrics and certain themes, what goes through your head when you're writing a song?
I feel like songs usually starts with from a personal experience. So something that's happened to you, something that's just happened in your life. A lot of great songwriters have always said, just write about what happens day to day for you. But there might be a line that sort of pops up. Like me and a buddy were writing a song the other day, a good friend of mine called Hux. And we finished writing this song, and then he just came out with another line. It was a song called Sideways Rain. Mm-hmm. And we started running with that. And I think it's been writing a lot recently, more about the emotional side of things, more or less, than the physical side of things. But then, you do sort of throw a truck in, or some whiskey in there, or a beer in there, or whatever.
Just to let everyone know
this back porch, or a horse. Exactly. Just to make sure.
That's interesting. How would you say that growing up where you grew up has shaped your kind of outlook on your music? Do you feel that that's kind of influenced your music in a way, or do you feel like this kind of attractiveness of the country culture and the American culture has kind of influenced it more?
Well, I was lucky enough to actually grow up in the countryside. Mm-hmm. And when I was growing up, me and my dad would always go and fix horse fences and stock fences and stuff like that. And we'd always be working. And
you've actually lived that life.
And slightly, I didn't grow up on like a farm or a ranch or anything, but I've always been surrounded by fields. Long walks and all that sort of stuff. And I used to ride as a kid. And so, I definitely got brought up around that kind of culture already. Mm-hmm. And then I've just always loved the American culture. I've always been a massive car fanatic.
Okay.
And I got a 66 Chevy that I drive. Just to really sort of keep the picture true.
Yeah.
And so I've always loved all that classic Americana-esque mm-hmm. stuff. And just all the stories that come out of it. So growing up where I have, that definitely had an influence on where my music took some turns and ended up, for sure.
Nice. So what's next for you then, music wise?
There is so much going on.
Okay.
And it's awesome.
That's good.
I am so excited for everything that's coming. And basically I wrote an album. I've recorded an album mm-hmm. in Nashville in May, over at Curb Studios with my buddy Jake Burns, and he was the recording engineer and the co-producer with me on it. And so we recorded that back in May, and we've just been working on that this whole summer, basically just mixes and overdubs and BVs and everything, and just had some masters back And I just gave the final sort of green light of just like, this is freaking sick. This is it.
Awesome.
Fantastic. Check. So there's still a ton of work to do. And I'm really hoping that's going to be able to come out this year, which is going to be sick.
Yeah, awesome.
And there'll be a few more singles leading up to that.
Brilliant. Well, that'll be good. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, so, yeah.
Anything else you want to shout out?
Got my single out, my latest single, Like It Was the First Time. That came out in April. Again, recorded that over at Curb Studios, August last year. And yeah, go and check that song out and just stay tuned for everything, because it's gonna be a ride.
Amazing. Well, thank you very much for your time.
No, thank you, dude.
Where can we find you next?
Ron's Honky Tonk, October 4th at the Water Rats.
Awesome.
With a great lineup and a new pair of boots.
Yep. We hope. Well, thank you very much, Britt.
Cheers,
thank
dude.
You very much for your time.
Thank you.
I haven't eaten all day. Would you like anything?
Oh yeah, go on then.
Yeah,
I'll just do a medium pepperoni.
Cool.
That'd be amazing. Thanks, dude.